Hello and welcome to Rewatchful, episode 42. Today we're discussing Veronica Mars, episodes 7 of Vice and Men, and 8, Lord of the Pies. And of course, they're all from season 3. I'm Danielle, and with me is Mitch, Gabrielle, and Marima. Hello, everybody.
Hi. Hello, Danielle.
Hey, Danielle.
Hello, it's so nice to be on an episode with all of you. I feel like I've missed so much because I missed last week.
Well, Marima, have we ever been on an episode before other than, like, the
I was going to say, I don't think Mitch and I have ever been on an episode except for, like, that very first one where we all spoke over each other embarrassingly.
Good times.
That's
so exciting. A rewatchable first.
Yes. Milestones. Naked memories, guys.
We always do unrewatchable.
Let's see. So, before we jump into the episodes, I haven't talked to you guys a lot about season 3 and how you were liking it, mostly because I haven't been on an episode yet with you, Marima, and I don't know if we've had too many episodes together, me and Mitch. So what do you guys think of season 3 so far? Are you liking it at all? Or are you just kind of eh?
I'm kind of not loving it, I have to say.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel bad for saying that. I really want to like it, but I think it's this whole rape storyline is just so off-putting to me. So maybe once they get past this, it will improve.
It'll be better.
Yeah, but everything is kind of tied up in this. And yeah, I think that's what it is. I don't think it's like the transition to college. I think they've actually done that really well.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that, yeah. And I mean, you're not in the minority for not liking season 3, because I feel like it's usually the least like season, probably for the same reasons that you have. So,
well, it's weird.
I'm the majority for that one.
As we've had it revealed to us a couple times on Rewatchable, that the rape storyline is only 1/3 of season 3, and as we're going to discuss in episode 8 today, it wraps up in a weird way. So I can see why people aren't liking season 3. Still to this day, because it just feels disjointed. And that, to me, doesn't speak what CW was doing. That just, to me, speaks what Rob Thomas was doing, right?
Gabrielle, you might know more about this than I do.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard some feedback from some of our listeners that it really wasn't the CW. It was just because the president of the CW at the time really loved Veronica Mars. So, you know, it's hard to know if the current execs on the show were making some decisions or if Rob Thomas just wanted it to go in this direction. So I don't really think it's fair to blame anyone. It's just a lot of fans don't like it as much as the other two, including myself.
Mm. Well, I have a question for you guys then.
Sure. Fire away.
And you can give me no comment to this because I'm just not sure how spoiler it's going to come out, but is there going to be a big bomb ending? You know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, like there've been for seasons 1 and 2?
I don't know how to answer that.
Yeah, I know it's hard to, like, not answer
that.
Stop
asking for spoilers.
Yeah, no.
That would be spoilers, so
that.
No comment.
All right, that's fine.
I'm
that's
not going
to
answer that.
That's fine. I guess, well, Marima, do you expect to be disappointed by the finale of season 3 then at this rate?
I mean, no, because hopefully the finale of season 3 will be like Veronica and Piers riding off in the distance together and then just Mac being there all the time. And that would be perfect. Or even Piers like moving to Australia maybe to hang out with Duncan. That would also be fine with me. No, I mean, at the moment, I think, yeah, once the rape storyline is done, I think I'll be a lot more on board with a lot more on board with what's happening. Yeah. And I would be, I guess, kind of disappointed if there wasn't a big reveal or something at the end, because that's kind of how they've set it up, how this show goes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, mm-hmm.
It's like their MO.
Also, this is to a certain effect acting like, I don't know, Teen Wolf or insert show that does 2 seasons within a season here. And I think Veronica Mars could have benefited from having like a hiatus in between each part to make him feel like different seasons. It would spread out the love too, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yes, it would spread out the love.
Ew. No. Ew.
I know, I was doing that on purpose and seeing who would catch it.
Of course.
I'm shocked by the acronym, acronym or ship name Love. being as popular as it is to be used in the titles of news articles. I thought that shipping was such a small facet of fandom, but the fact that when
in this one it's not.
Well, that's funny to me. It's like a whole weird subculture of people who know what shipping is within the Veronica Mars world, right?
I think it also helps that the series, you know, has been off the air for a while, so the shippers have, you know, just gotten stronger. So maybe, you know, you wouldn't see it in articles back in 2005, but now the shippers are the ones who are still watching it for the most part.
Thank you, Tumblr.
Yeah, I love Tumblr.
Yes. Thank you, Tumblr. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's then just jump right into the two episodes we have prepared for today. So here's your quick synopsis for episode 7 of Vice and Men. In this episode, Veronica spars with the Fitzpatricks once more while continuing her beef with Keith. Veronica decides to stay at Wallace's as she's avoiding Keith and Logan and ends up bunking with his for the weekend. Veronica helps Sully's girlfriend Meryl find him and ends up in the River Styx once more. Vinny Van Lowe saves Veronica from the Fitzpatricks and blackmails Keith into breaking up with Harmony. Professor Landry offers Veronica an internship with the FBI, but she's wary to take it after discovering his affair. Mercer is cleared of rape after providing an alibi. Veronica almost becomes the rapist's latest victim after she's drugged before Logan comes to save her. So that's where we end up at the end of this episode, but let's kind of jump back towards the beginning and talk about Veronica's judgment of Keith. So she judges him pretty hardcore by this point. She really doesn't want much to do with him as she goes to stay at Wallace's vacated dorm room. So how do you feel about how Veronica is acting towards her father?
I'd say it's not her place to judge, except the fact that Keith, as we've seen throughout the past seasons, has a hard time setting boundaries with her, like with the father-daughter role, just because it is just the two of them and they are so close. I think she feels that she has the right to judge because she works with him, you know, on a personal and professional level. So maybe if there were more clear boundaries, like he's clearly the dad and he knows everything that's going on in her life and, you know, sets more ground rules and boundaries, maybe she wouldn't have that right.
Well, I think in general that I would let someone date how they wanted to because it's never my place to tell someone else how to live their life, even if they're a family member. But I think with the relationship that Veronica and Keith have set up, that this was called for. Veronica had every right to judge him that way because she would be judged by him that way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think it has a lot to do with Veronica's own life experiences. Like she talks about her mom and Jake Kane and things like that. And if she hadn't gone through those things, maybe she wouldn't react so strongly to the idea of someone cheating. But I think especially like she says, I'm not sure if it's in this one or the next one, that, you know, she has obviously trouble trusting people and her father has always been the person that she could count on. The fact that the relationship he's conducting is sort of based in this deception, I think that is really difficult for her. And so I can understand where she's coming from, but at the same time, like, yeah, she needs to give him a break because it's really not her place.
No, it's not. It's not going to really affect her in the end of the day because who cares what her father's love life is? It's not hers.
Yeah, and she's also being somewhat illogical about it because she won't even give him a chance to explain himself. So it's kind of this irrational anger, I guess, that she has towards him.
Agreed.
I think it's one of those things where she almost idolizes him. Like, he's that example of a perfect man, I guess, in her life. And so I think it's this imperfection that kind of shakes her to the core because she's not used to this. She's not used to seeing this person have so many flaws or seeing like these gaping flaws, and him going on with a married woman is just something that's so shocking. But again, it's his life, and I think she is acting a little bit too, I don't know. Yeah. I think she's
Veronica,
acting up just a little too much.
Veronica has always been like self-righteous. That's not, that's not a surprise to anyone. And, I personally feel like it's coming through a lot more in this season, but it's definitely evident in this storyline because, yeah, she's like, She just thinks she's so much, she has this superiority thing. And I think that she held her father up there with her, as in they were both better than everyone else. And now that, yeah, like you said, he has some flaws or something, immediately she's like just, yeah, kicked him to the curb sort of thing. And she's just positioned herself like she's so much better and, you know, like she would never do anything like this and la la la. I mean, and we all know Veronica isn't perfect, but Veronica obviously thinks that she's pretty damn good. So it's hard to argue with that, I suppose.
I think she just feels she would never cheat on someone or, you know, help, in her mind, destroy a relationship like that. But I think she, yes, has a problem because she idolizes Keith, but she's never liked any of his girlfriends, whether it was her guidance counselor. And she even had a really difficult time when he was dating Alicia at first, Wallace's mom. So I think there's the part about him falling from grace, but it's also she's just not ready to see him move on from her mom, even though she's put her mom in the past herself, or she thinks she has.
Yeah, that makes sense too. I like that point.
It's interesting to me that her mother hasn't shown up again, or she hasn't come up in a conversation as to why this relationship is illegitimate in Veronica's eyes. You'd think that she would use that as her biggest card against Keith.
I mean, does she? I feel like she doesn't usually explain her positions on things. I think that's part of her character, is she just makes the judgments and we can kind of speculate why, but I feel like that wouldn't be something she would do. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. She doesn't really explain why she thinks she's right. She just knows she's right and doesn't need to be told that she's not. And she'll snarkily, exactly, like, tell people off when she knows that they've done something bad. And I can't find too many times that she's really been wrong when she's accused someone of something. She just has this uncanny sleuthing that goes beyond what should even be humanly possible. I swear, she's like a mind reader sometimes. It's strange how she's able to pinpoint the one exact person that done it, you know?
Yes.
She got lucky, because if she wasn't right some of these times, she'd be in a lot more trouble.
Yeah. But someone in this episode, Vinny Van Lo, he doesn't have those uncanny abilities. Yet he did have a pretty big role in this episode, and in one good way and one not so great way. Were you excited to see him back and kind of helping out a little bit?
Yes. Oh my God. I think Vinny is actually my favorite character.
He's so fun.
He is so fun. And yeah, every time he pops up, I'm always like, yes, I love Vinny. And he's always trying to make this like team thing happen with Keith, which is very amusing to me. But yeah, I mean, like, he's doing his job. Power to him. I thought it was fun.
Yeah, agreed. And it's kind of fun to see him show up again in a cute role like this. Because last time we'd seen him doing anything important, he was bringing Duncan to Mexico, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
I think so.
Interesting.
It was also great seeing him kind of on two different sides this episode. On the one hand, blackmailing Keith. But on the other hand, saving Veronica. So I love Vinny. Danielle and I have oohed and aahed over him for a while, but it was nice seeing him. It was nice seeing him multidimensional instead of just the goofball. The fact that he actually like showed that he cares about, you know, someone's well-being was a nice change.
Yeah, he's a well-rounded character in a place where some of these characters aren't very fleshed out. I feel like we do see aspects of Vinny from different sides, so it's really nice to see him come in and save the day and not mess up things or, I don't know, be scheming for money.
So yeah. Do we know quite yet why he's doing what he's doing to Keith? Because he just cares about Harmony? No, right?
No, because he's working for Harmony's husband, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Correct.
But, like, question, because I've missed this, I think. So did Keith actually pay him the money that he was after to, like, keep it on the down low?
Was it money or was there an agreement? I can't remember. I watched this like last week.
Oh, I watched it last night, but like in the early hours of the morning. And I thought he said, you know, like the husband is paying me $2,000 to find out if she's cheating. So how about you double that and then this can all go away?
Yes. So
I thought it was either money or he had like another thing for. Oh, no, I think it was money. The other thing was to tell him where the all of the Fitzpatrick money was.
Yeah, what Kendall was. Good luck. Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
So, wait.
So, yes, I think he did pay him off.
So
that
why-
makes me so mad that Keith did that. Like, does that make anyone else frustrated? Because, tropes. But just why would he have to do that? And I get, like, you know, he doesn't want him to go back to Harmony's husband and blah, blah, blah. But I really don't like the idea of Keith as someone that would lie like that. And even though it makes it worse for me because, yeah, I think he made a mistake to sleep with Harmony in the first place. But the fact that he's then, like, lying and trying to cover it up makes it 5,000 times worse, in my opinion, than if he had just been like, yeah, like, we made a huge mistake and blah, 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 like, you know, tell your husband, don't tell your husband, but, you know, accept that this is something we've done.
Yeah, kind of like man up and get it over with.
Yeah.
Because it's going to come to bite him in the ass eventually.
I feel like Keith should know better. You know what I mean? Like, this is his job. He should know better than that.
This is his business. He's seen it work out, not work out, multiple times, numerous times. So, yes, I agree completely with that.
Yeah, I don't really like this storyline in general. You may have noticed.
So I have a question, guys. Why is Vinny Van Lo interested at all in that Fitzpatrick money, unless I missed that point?
I think he was hired by them.
So yeah, he says he's, like, on retainer for them or something, which I thought was hilarious.
What does being on retainer mean?
It means, like, he's like, on their payroll, like, as in they can call him up when they need him.
So that makes me not like Vinny. Anyone else?
I mean, I just like he's, you know, they're his clients.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I kind of can't begrudge him that. It's a tough climate.
I feel like Vinny is sort of like a dick like character in that what you see is what you get. You know that he's always trying to just get money and do whatever to get money, and he goes to the highest bidder. And so I feel like the Fitzpatricks are the highest bidders and they're always coming to him with business. So why would he turn them down?
Good points. So he's not really on their side. He's just working for them, I guess. But to that effect, a lot of Weevil's gang members were working for the Fitzpatricks. Could they be counted as being on their side, or is that just, you know, a completely different world?
I want to say that they were more complicit in things, or that they went to the Fitzpatricks, whereas Vinny is being tapped by the Fitzpatricks.
Mm-hmm. So it's not really betraying because they're not exactly in the same business because, you know, of the drug sales that Weevil's gang and Fitzpatrick's gang were going against each other for. But in Vinny's case, it's kind of just like, you're right. The Fitzpatricks tapped Vinny for a different business venture. Yes, it benefits the Fitzpatricks, but it's not like Vinny is betraying someone else that he was doing work for already, right?
Right. And I mean, how many illegal things can a PI really do? That's not in their realm of things.
I beg to differ. I mean, Veronica seems to think that she can do anything in the whole wide world and get away with it. And she does.
I mean, case-wise.
Yeah, but Vinny's like funnier about it. So I kind of don't mind.
Yeah. This is true, too. He's so much funnier than the PCHers.
It just seems like a much bigger deal than the show's making it, that Vinny's working for the Fitzpatricks. I hope that builds up to something.
I really don't think it is, because they've never shown Vinny to be this character that has, like, a moral center or anything. I mean, obviously he has morals, but, you know, they're wildly different from someone like Veronica's or Keith's.
Yeah.
Like Danielle just said, he's a character that he wants to make money and he kind of doesn't have any scruples about how he goes about that. And I'm sure, I'm sure there are various things he, like, would not help the Fitzpatricks with, like, hey, let's hide this body. No, thank you. But other things like, hey, can you help me find my money? And they're going to pay him for it. Like, why would he not do that?
Yeah,
I know it doesn't bother me. I feel like it makes sense for his character and he's funny. So I enjoy him a lot.
It's a brand new perspective, and I appreciate hearing it because it makes me rethink about Vinny and just take him lighter, you know?
Well, you're welcome.
And then speaking of cases, Veronica kind of, she didn't really want to, but she took on a case this week in helping his and Wallace's next door neighbor's girlfriend. And this girl, Meryl, is kind of the complete opposite of Veronica. Meryl has this unflinching just faith in her boyfriend, that her boyfriend is not going to cheat on her, is not going to cross her, that he's this good guy. And Veronica, the entire episode, is getting frustrated with this because she thinks she's being naive. What did you think about the opposition of these two characters? Did you enjoy it at all?
Yeah, it makes sense too, because Veronica should be as jaded as she is by now. Being in the PI business and having experienced as many things as she has in her own personal dating relationships, she was somewhat legitimate in saying the things she did. Now, the way she said them, that was rough, but I think she was trying to let her down easy from something she'd seen often. I think it was just kind of against the odds that the boyfriend really wasn't cheating or anything special, you know?
Yeah, I think it's a little sad, though, that she would be so jaded like that. She's only, what, 18? Mm.
It's sad that she's 18 and she is doling out depressing love advice and, you know, anti-relationship advice to others. It's just really, it's a sad look at how she feels and how her mindset affects her relationship with Logan. The fact that it just doesn't seem like she's able to trust anyone. So I liked the character of Meryl. She had a weird name, but it reminded me of Meryl Streep. so that was always nice. But I don't know. It made me more sad for Veronica than anything.
And in general, I think that this was a really, really weird storyline to throw in because it didn't fit with a theme. And I feel as though any episode before the, quote, season finale should relate to that theme. And it would tie it together a little bit more. Now, I'm not sure if that's happened before, but here I think it would have been appropriate. But it seems like they've also used that too often. I mean, already. They've already, you know, Max Roommate, for instance, we've already had to investigate who's raped her, and that's kind of an ongoing thing. But that would have been more pertinent to happen, like, right around now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think the theme was the theme of, like, a trusting relationship. I think that was how it kind of tied into everything else, was Veronica sort of learning from Meryl how to trust your significant other.
But we all know she doesn't trust Logan for too much longer. I mean, like we already said, you know, Piz Logan is going to happen. that'd be fun. Piz Veronica gonna is going to happen. But even if I didn't see that the show setting it up, I would see at least love breaking up because of how much they don't trust each other. Or I guess it's more of Veronica not trusting Logan, isn't it?
A little bit. Yeah.
I like Meryl. Although she was really dumb. It annoys me when characters are stupid. Like, Veronica was really dumb in this episode at points, and it just makes for very frustrating watching. But I liked the twist that Meryl was right and Veronica was wrong, because I like when Veronica is wrong, because Veronica is always right. And, you know, it's healthy. It's a healthy thing to be wrong about things sometimes.
Yeah, right? Yeah, she's not a mind reader this time around.
No, sorry. I like that, too.
What were we saying, Danielle?
I just was saying that it makes it more interesting. Like, as if it's always predictable, like, oh, Veronica's right, can't wait to see how this turns out. It keeps us on our toes, and it makes it, like I said, more interesting.
Yeah, and I guess it's almost the equivalent of, like, I don't know, like a doctor show, you could say, where the doctors don't always save the patients, even if it's a really passionate story, and you feel like because they've set it up to be so heartbreaking that they couldn't possibly kill off that character, and they do, it's the equivalent of Veronica couldn't possibly be wrong, but that she is. Even if this time she was wrong for the benefit of someone else. But I agree, Danielle. It doesn't make it more interesting when the protagonists don't always win, I guess you could say, or they aren't all-knowing.
Not all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So in this episode, she's not trusting Logan, but she bunks down with Piz. Kind of unexpectedly, but I thought it was fun. Marima, I'm assuming you thought it was a good time.
Woo! Team Piz! I'm not even like Team Piz and Veronica. Do they have a name? What's their name?
I think it's Pizonica.
Pizzonica.
Oh, that's a terrible name.
That's
Okay.
wild.
I'm not even team whatever that is. I'm just team Piz in general, like as a person that exists. I'm pro Piz existing. And then Veronica can like be there or not be there. So yeah, he's just so fun. I enjoy the scenes that he's in because I think it's like he's basically the only character apart from Parker that's like a new character that has not come from Neptune High. And every single character that's come from Neptune High is like so messed up because they either dated the guy that blew up a bus or like they dated the guy whose sister got murdered or like la 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 la. And it's like so nice to just have a character that whose only problem is like, oh, I have to cover this like slot on the radio for this other guy. Cool. Like, I'm going to do this now. Or like, hey, I want an egg sandwich and I'm sleeping on the floor. I enjoy that those are his problems. You know what I mean? Like, those are good problems to have.
I agree.
Egg sandwich problems. Yes, those are very good problems to have.
Yeah. I mean, an egg sandwich problem is like, it's a good problem to rectify. But yeah, I just like that he seems like the most realistic character on this show. And I know I've like have come to the understanding that Veronica Mars is a soap opera, so you know, that's fine. But I like that they're at least making an effort to have a character that is like a semi-normal 18-year-old who is a freshman. Freshman, am I getting that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
At yeah, I know the lingo. I know what's up. at college. So yeah, that's why I like him so much. Also, he's got great hair, so that works in his favor as well.
I went on a rant about how I didn't like his hair.
It's so fluffy though.
Marvel,
it's just so
funny. Hair?
It's just
early 2000s.
I know, that's why it's so hilarious. Like, it's so dated. It's hysterical. I keep expecting him to like rock out the skinny jeans and start writing like emo poetry or something.
Oh yeah, that'd be good.
Beforehand, I've said that, you know, I like Piz, but I think he just like needs to back off a little bit. And this episode, I felt bad for him because you could see he was trying to like just be friends with Veronica. But his little crush, which is evident to anyone who has eyes, you know, was not helped by the fact that she was staying in his place. And like when she obviously has a home and a boyfriend that she could go to, and, you know, even Mac and Parker, she could stay with them. And so the fact that she's like crashing in his place and like, you know, changing in front of him or just like chilling on Wallace's bed right next to him makes me feel for him. Because I like the actor and I like the character, but it's just like, oh, you know, here's this person that you really like and you can't have, but yet they're in front of you or with you all the time and they don't seem to get that you're interested.
Well, Gabrielle, speaking of Mac, let's just do the latest Where is Mac segment.
Where is Mac?
Yeah.
That's just... she's a regular.
Is it a spoil? Well, okay. Yeah. She's not in this... She hasn't been in the last few episodes, and it makes me very upset. But she is a regular, so hopefully we will see more of her.
That was very diplomatic.
Yes, yeah, that was. Hopefully we see more of Mac in the future.
With her character development, because her boyfriend, like, blew up a bus and then killed himself and almost killed Veronica. Oh, and also raped Veronica.
And blew up a plane.
We don't see any of the fallout from Cassidy with Mac, and that could have been a good storyline.
Is so annoying that is the thing.
He didn't rape Mac, but he just took her clothes, which was dehumanizing, right?
Right. Well, yeah.
Yeah, but he raped Veronica.
Right.
Like, she was ready to have sex with someone for the first time, and so it was a very emotional thing, and then she comes out, she has no clothes and nothing to, like, wrap herself in. So she's traumatized at the very least. So yeah, it's really annoying that they didn't do anything with that at all.
I that is like one thing that Veronica Mars does that drives me crazy, which is they build up these crazy storylines and it's all great, and then they never ever show the fallout from it.
Yeah.
And it would be fine, except the things that they are showing are like so traumatic that there is no way that a character bounces back from it. It's like at the end of each episode, if something big happens and then the next episode opens with like Veronica sitting in her kitchen, and I'm like, why are you not more upset? Like, show emotions. Mm-hmm. Have something. I don't know.
And if anything, the only upsetness we see of Mac is her a little 5 seconds of fame in the introduction of the show, because she looks like super emo in that, and she's not,
Yeah.
she's never been like that up until this season. So I was like, I guess that's her character development right there.
I miss
What
Mac.
she's like now.
Yeah, and she should be like that, but she isn't like that in the show. She's only like that in the intro. So I was like, that's it? That's all we're gonna get?
That's
Ugh. But
it.
she looks emo hot, I guess you can say, on the DVD cover, which is another thing that when I first looked at it, we're all revealing the cover to ourselves, the newbies. And looking at it, I was like, oh, so Mac really will fall out from all of that, whatever his name was now, Beaver stuff. I never know which name.
Just go with Beaver now. We can't do the real name. It's Beaver.
We can't respect him.
Nope. No, we
Yeah, so
cannot.
that's the late that's Rewatchable's latest Where's Mac segment.
I miss Max so much more than Wallace, I have to say. Like, I have no investment in Wallace being on this show anymore. I feel bad to say it because I used to really like him,
We should
but now he's
try.
just yeah, now he's just I don't know what he's up to, but I really miss Mac as a character.
He's cheating on math tests. I mean, like, that's it.
Yeah,
You
you know,
know,
like, oh, I want to be a mechanical engineer. Okay, Wallace, sure, cool.
have fun.
Yeah.
I have want to say quickly, like, going back to the Piz thing before we move on, I feel like Veronica is the one that should know better in this situation. Like,
Yes.
you kind of can't blame Piz for being like, yeah, you can stay, like, that's totally fine. Do you want to hang out all the time in my bedroom? You know, I mean, you kind of can't begrudge a guy for trying, I suppose, because he's trying so hard to be friends with her. And, you know, he's like, oh, that's fine. That is totally fine. But Veronica should know, like, this is not an appropriate thing to be doing. Like you said, she should have gone to, like, Mac or Parker or whatever.
And she's really lucky that he has a crush on her, because she's being so intrusive, not only just barging in on herself, bring herself into that room, but then Meryl. She's like, oh, Meryl's just going to cry in your bed now. Where are you going to sleep? On the floor, naturally. And no, you do not get your egg sandwich.
Oh, so sad.
I
The
know.
case of the egg sandwich. Do you think Veronica knows that Piers is into her, though? I mean, I feel like how can she not know? But the way that she's acting makes me feel like she's sort of oblivious.
I think she's looking to be oblivious so that he doesn't catch on that she
Yeah.
knows, but she still wants to be able to use him so she could, like, I don't even know, like, find out where Wallace is, if that's important anymore, or who uses room for crying cases of the week, or whatever else she needs him for, I guess.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
do
that's
think she
pretty
knows.
ruthless.
Yeah, it is.
I do think she knows just because it was sort of awkward and it made us think that she did when Piz had asked her to go bowling. Like, I think at that point she may have had an idea. If not, I'm really disappointed because she's supposed to be like the best detective ever.
Totally.
So yeah. But let's move on to Professor Landry. Are your thoughts about him or your impressions of him different now that we know about his affair with the dean's wife?
Not really.
No.
I mean,
Okay.
it goes the same thing. Like, the dean's wife should know better. Like, Landry's just getting some where he can get some. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't bother me at all. Although Veronica's reaction to him in this episode bothered me a lot.
With
Like, when he's
the
trying to,
internship.
yeah, I'm like, V, what are you doing? Like, this is how college works. This is how life works. It's not an even thing. You take things where you can get things. And if she was so torn up about it, she could have said, okay, I'm going to do the plan the perfect murder. And also, I'm going to do this internship application. Like, please help me out. But she's so, like, high and mighty about it that she can't, accept things like that, which I was just like, you have no idea.
She's calling it hush
Yeah.
money,
You don't
but
know what it's like.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, 18. So naive.
I wouldn't even
Think you can
consider that
still do
hush money
that?
in the first place. I would just kind of go for it. And if I thought back to it, I'd be like, if it was hush money, I don't care. It moved me up in the world. No one's gonna ever come by and, be in debt to me anymore. Or I'm not
Right,
in
and
debt to
also, like,
them.
also, what is going to happen? Like, she does the internship, and then she says, like, P.S., the dean's wife is cheating with Landry, and then, like, oh, okay, you can't take it back. You know what I mean? Like, she's already got the thing. So
Well,
it's
you could
just
sabotage her.
Veronica's, it's just her, like, overreacting, her, kind of self-righteous thing. I guess it makes sense because of all the stuff that's happening with Keith right now, where she feels like she has to be this, like, morally superior person, but I just wanted to shake her.
Yeah, I agree.
who like taps her boyfriend's phone sometimes or put a tracker in his car once or twice. But she's the moral center. It's fine.
Oh, totally. Well, in Veronica's world, anyway.
Yes, exactly. Another moral center, Mercer. He gets cleared of the rape in this episode. Did you think that he was the rapist? What were you kind of thinking around his storyline, if anything at all? Maybe you just don't like him.
Well, we had that cologne, right? That yes. was his biggest no-no. And also the fact that Logan was not saying where he was with Mercer during that one rape and you have to trust me, blah, blah, blah. So...
And the clippers were in the drawer.
Oh, no. That one is just stupid. Anyone who would say that, a guy who has clippers might have... I'm like, no. I mean, that's like a common thing. That's like, you have a toothbrush, therefore you must be the toothbrush rapist. I'm like, huh?
But he also had, like, GHB, which is kind of a rapist too.
Oh, hey, good point. So, did that matter anymore? I mean, is that okay to just have...
Does GHB matter? Is that what you're asking?
No, like, does it matter anymore?
Did you seriously ask if having a date rape drug is an okay thing to have?
Like, yeah, because like no one seemed to care past the fact that he wasn't the rapist. Does it matter that he has the GHB? Like, that still matters to me.
Yeah, I feel like he was in jail.
He was in jail, but... So I think it's unclear if he has charges for the GHB or if Sheriff Lamb is being Sheriff Lamb and, you know, is bought off or just ignored the charges because he's a... probably a rich white boy versus a PCHer. So I think
knowing
it's kind
Mercer,
of
he probably bought him off.
I mean, I think we can agree that Mercer is definitely shady.
He is.
And he's kind of sleazy. And I don't like him in general. But I guess all the stuff with the alibi and everything, I guess that's fine. But I think they're setting it up, so there's definitely something going on with Mercer, even if it's not the rape thing. Because otherwise, and again, why would they spend so much time on him? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's like one of those things again.
Fair enough. And one last point for this episode was Veronica actually almost got raped by the campus rapist. Every time I watch this episode, it's always really intense for me. And I enjoy the way that it's, I enjoy that it happens. Not the fact that I enjoy the actual like act of any of it, but I don't know. What did you think of this whole segment or this scene?
The drama. Is that what you're referencing? That it was just really scary and you felt like Veronica was,
it was
real
good. Pale? It was well done. I maybe that's why I liked it. Cause I liked the way that it was done.
Yeah,
I guess.
And I think that it was probably one of the scariest scenes of Veronica Mars that I've experienced, because I remember being really disturbed after watching this episode. And I really would have preferred to have not watched it. So that means it did a good job, I guess, because it was effective in what it was trying to do. But it freaked me out.
I think the hair is one of the scariest parts. Where Logan just, like, lifts up her hair. And she's got, like, hair missing.
Yes. Oh, no. I just... And it makes you regret having fights with your significant others or your family. Because it's like, when am I going to be in trouble? No one's going to know where I am. And it's just... It was very real. It was a real fear.
Yeah, that I feel like that bit was convincing. But, again... Oh, Veronica. I feel bad. I just didn't really like this episode, guys, as you may have noticed. I was so mad when she left her drink there, and as soon as she got up, it was like, well, obviously she's going to get drugged. But I just feel like Veronica should know better, and she's going to a school where, yeah, like girls are getting date raped all the time, and she is usually like, I feel like she's usually so conscious of those things that this felt so out of character and so unrealistic, even for this show, that it bothered me a lot that they couldn't find another way to set it up. I suppose that felt more that, yeah, because Veronica is being so suspicious and everything in this episode, and then what, she lets her guard down for this 1 second. I don't know. Yeah. It didn't make sense to me, and it bothered me because then it made it feel cheaper, the whole experience. And I agree, like the bit where they lift up her head and the hair is just there is like so chilling when you're watching it, and it's so disturbing. But because of the way that they set it up and they got there, it lost something for me.
I do agree with those two parts, just because when I was annoyed when she left her drink, and then also when you saw her start to feel a little funny and she just completely wrote it off, that really bothered me as well. So I do agree with you on those points.
And she's been through this before, so it's like she should know better. And like, she's, why would she go to a secluded place? You know, why would she not try and call someone or like get some help from someone? It's just frustrating.
Why would she think she could drive?
That too.
Yeah.
It was just all stupid.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What bothered me was not her leaving her drink, because it was in her dining hall. She probably just wasn't, you know, suspecting anything like that, because she associated all the rapes with, you know, the fraternity scene and partying versus in her dining hall. But what bothered me was she didn't call her dad or Logan when she started to feel funny. Like, yes, the last time it happened to her, she was drunk, but still the fact that she couldn't recognize the signs or even say like, hey, I'm not feeling well. Like, maybe it's a stomach ache. Maybe someone should drive me home or check in. That's what bothered me. So the fact that she felt like she couldn't rely on anyone and that she was a superhero in a sense, bothered me the most.
Yeah, it was super irresponsible.
And she was like tripping out hardcore with, you know, the way the camera was jutting around and those creepy sounds. It looked like they were trying to make it like she was on mushrooms or something, like, or LSD. It was like an intense trip she was having, and the fact that she could still think through that is questionable to me, but I don't think that that is an excuse enough for her not calling. I agree with what you guys were just saying.
Yeah, but thank goodness Logan was there, and, you know, it reminded me of season one, in their first kiss and him, you know, seemingly rescuing her from the ATF agent. So I kind of like that flashback, even though it was under more serious circumstances.
Yeah, but it was convenient for him to be there. I guess the show has to go on, and convenient things will happen in all fiction just to move things along. It just depends on us with how much we're going to allow the show to get away with its convenient things. I think the show gets away with a lot, so what do you guys think? Is this one that we could overlook and just say, oh yeah, he just happened to see your car, whatever, because it was a college campus, it's pretty big.
Yeah, well, obviously they get away with convenient things, but I also feel like this had a lot to do with the fact that they didn't want to have a show with Kristen Bell with a shaved head for the rest of the thing, you know, like that's fine to have a side character with the shaved head, but like, heaven forbid that it's the attractive girl who is the star of the show. You know what I mean? So they had to find a way to get around that as well, which was also, that also kind of bothered me. But I mean, it's convenient. Like, it's a soap opera, you know. There's how many more? There's so many more episodes of season three. Like, you know, she's not going to die. So at some point, someone's going to find her. But it's, I think they set it up well in that sense that when Logan kind of goes around the car, as a viewer, you don't know if Veronica is going to be there or not, you know?
Totally.
So that was good, like good suspense. But yeah, I mean, if it wasn't Logan, it would have been someone else. So I guess it makes sense that it's at least someone who's looking for Veronica rather than someone who's just walking around.
Well, I guess this is once again another of my makeup technical questions for the shaved heads of these women. I'm going to assume that that wasn't an actual shaved chunk of her hair, correct?
I would assume that it's not.
But how do you do that? I can't even think of how in the world that works. Maybe like a small section of a bald cap, you know?
Yeah, I'm imagining it was like hair and makeup, because I can't imagine that Kristen Bell would agree to let them shave a section of her head.
No, me neither. And I guess from there on, we're supposed to just... what's the term? Something about suspension. Suspend your belief.
Suspend your beliefs, yeah.
About how she's able to just still have all of her hairstyles and it's not an obvious mark of hair that's out of...
Yeah, well, it was in a very convenient place.
Yeah, it could have been like in her bangs. Like
for future hairstyles, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like that was...
Yeah.
Like
it could have been, she could have looked like a four-year-old to cut her own hair with her kitchen scissors, you know what I mean?
What, yeah, with that fringe?
Like no, like if the rapist or whoever conveniently cut her bangs as opposed to like a little spot.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it was in a very, I mean, it was, it, yeah, suspended disbelief because it was in a ridiculous place. Like, why would you start shaving in the middle at the bottom kind of your hair? We're like, oh, you can hide it. So don't worry about it.
I mean, she must have had a lot of mousse in that hair too.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, I would have to rewatch, but like, yeah, it could either be a section of a bald cap or like conceivably she could be wearing a wig in that scene and they, you know, shaved a section of it.
Because that was very curly hair and I did note that that didn't seem too real to me, so maybe that's
right. I am not digging V's hairstyles this season. No. I have to say no. The Kelly hair is like not working for me.
All right,
I like it, but that was too curly for me. That was the little tight Taylor Swift curls that I don't think look good on Kristen Bell, but that's just my personal tastes.
Yeah, like that's what I thought.
I feel like curly hair is always media's sign of someone growing up.
But it's a gamble. Yeah. You never know.
They discovered the curling iron. Like, they're adult now.
Yeah.
Or, like, they do this in the Vampire Diaries a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Before. Yeah, when Catherine came around, Catherine, the older one, the vampire, had the curly hair, and Elena, the naive young one, had, like, the stick straight hair. And so I just feel like this is a trope with hairstyles that's in pretty much everything now.
Yeah, that is actually really accurate.
Yeah.
Definitely. Hey, you could probably say the opposite, though, for Harry Potter. It's weird, because Hermione's hair goes from very curly to very straight.
Yeah.
Hmm,
all right. Let's move on to our favorite scenes and favorite lines for episode 7. Marima, would you like to start, please?
Yeah, I didn't really have a favorite scene. I feel bad. So I'm just going to go with the egg sandwich, I think. Why not? And that made me laugh. And his was adorable. So that, yeah, I'll go with that.
Mine was, I think it was in this episode. I'm almost positive. But Logan revealing his alibi. I think that was in this one.
The Mexican burnt down the hotel. Yeah. Yes.
I can't believe we didn't even talk about this.
Yes.
And you guys think Logan is like, you guys think Logan is such a good guy? Like, oh, yeah, you ran away from a building that was on fire with people in it. Like, good job, Logan. You're awesome. Awesome, Mercer. Jerk.
Yeah, like, that's when you definitely had to have stuck it around and, you know, sung the sad song and just taken it. I think that that was just kind of silly that he didn't just take the heat for that.
I'll take the heat. and also the fact that the reason he didn't want to reveal the alibi was because he was worried about how Veronica would look at him rather than like he was guilty because he left a burning building on fire. This tells me that there is, you know, that, I mean, not just if it was Logan, like if it was any other character, I would be just as annoyed by that. No, not great.
No, definitely not a good character building moment for Logan.
Yeah. I think I liked the Veronica half of that scene better. Just because I think she sort of reacted in the same way that we're all reacting right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a person? Yep.
Like a person. Exactly. Exactly like a person. Gabrielle, your favorite scene, please?
My favorite scene involved Vinny Van Lo, and it's when he rescues Veronica at the River Styx. And just the fact that Veronica was actually hesitant to go in there made me happy. And the fact that Vinny was a hero in that moment, while being hilarious as usual, was awesome.
Mitch, did you want to chime in on that one? Oh, no, I'm sorry, Mitch, what was your favorite scene? I read this wrong.
No, it's fine. It's because we're both pink text today, I'm sure.
Yes.
mine was the scene where Logan comes to the rescue because as convenient as that was, I did find it another convenient way for Veronica and Logan to make up, you know, because they just had a big fight about the burning house. So it made me happy to see them happy, even though it was too convenient for them to be happy like that. And that happens a lot with love. Think about it. They fight up until there's a big traumatic event, and then they're okay together again. They forget about why they hated each other, and it really works for the love shit, but I don't know if that's going to be the downfall. It has to be now. I think we've, you know, found the chink in the armor that they don't really have a relationship. They have traumatic moments that have built trust.
Hey, sometimes love is not enough.
You sound very poetic.
I try. Favorite lines, Marima?
My favorite line was when Veronica was trying to explain Occam's razor to Meryl, and she's like, have you heard of Occam's razor? Meaning, like, you know, the simplest solution is the best. And Meryl's like, is that a space laser? Has it been invented already? And I was like, oh, Meryl. I don't know why I found that so funny, but she was so earnest. It was nice.
She was. She was really into that space laser, too.
Yeah.
Like you, I didn't really have, for your favorite scenes, I didn't really have a favorite line. So my favorite line was pretty much every time they mentioned the Facebook and aren't actually referring to our Facebook, like the Facebook that we actually know. So every time they got excited or started talking about the Facebook, it made me happy, because at first I was like, what are you talking about? It's good stuff. Old times, I guess. And for people who don't know, the Facebook used to be like a, I think it was like a book or a pamphlet that you would get with pictures of everyone in your class, and they would call it the Facebook.
That is so creepy.
Yeah.
Do they actually do that? They don't do that here, because that's weird.
I think that's what it was. And I think it's in The Social Network in the very beginning, if anybody's ever seen that. Because I think that's how he gets the idea. But yeah. They would give you just like a book of everyone in your class. So I guess you would have an idea of who everyone was if you really wanted to know. And it was called the Facebook, because you would have a book full of faces.
Yeah, that is so weird. You guys live in a strange place.
I know, we do.
Indeed we do.
Gabrielle, what was your favorite line?
My favorite line was the end of the episode, Veronica's voiceover. And she goes, let's see. Says, I think we all learned a valuable lesson about faith. You give it to the people you love, but the people who really deserve it are the ones who come through, even when you don't love them enough. I just thought it was very poignant, and I think it's a good lesson for people to learn.
I like that one, too. And it also shows some sort of character growth through everything that Veronica's been doing, so it was good. Mm-hmm. And Mitch?
So mine was when Mercer was talking to Veronica about how Logan's cool, and he says, he's a solid guy. I mean, I want him to be my boyfriend if I swung that way. Veronica, give it time. You just got here. Oh, burn.
I mean, for context, he was in jail, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so context for the line is he was in jail. So
I was just like, yes. Oh, that's funny. That's kind of meta. Zing. I like that. That's a zinger.
It's good. All right, so episode 8 is Lord of the Pies, and here's the quick synopsis. Chip Diller is found naked out in the front yard with an Easter egg stuck up his butt by Nish and crew to remind him of the day Patrice jumped off the sorority roof. Veronica is back at the Free Press and is dragged into the case of the disappearance of Selma Rose, a wealthy trustee. Veronica and Keith are back to normal post-harmony and discover Mrs. Rose is blackmailed by her husband. Veronica continues to be spoofed on campus, only to discover that Logan had hired a bodyguard for her. Logan and Veronica fight, again, over her protection and her desire to see him change without changing herself. The two seemingly make up and declare their love before Veronica ignores him at the end of the episode. So much drama. Let's start with the case of the week, with Chip Diller and the anti-Greek girls. Yay or nay on this mystery sort of the week?
Nay.
Nay.
Okay. Hell nay.
I just All right. think, we've discussed this before, but the characterization of Nish and her friends really bugs me.
Yeah.
And the fact that it didn't seem to lead anywhere. Like, okay, well, Patrice is in a mental hospital, but she's not relevant at all to the rapes. And, you know, like, nothing had to do with the rape storyline and in that case. And especially after last week's storyline with Veronica, you know, almost being another victim, I just thought the case of the week could have tied in better to that. And also the fact that we didn't get to see enough Chip Diller in this episode, that he was just mentioned without really being seen or heard, was a little annoying for it to be a case of the week.
Yeah, and like, okay, we need to talk briefly about the worrying sexual assault representations on Veronica Mars, because like this episode was insane. Like, PSA, guys, it's not okay to joke about sexual assault if it's a guy. You know, like, you wouldn't make the same jokes about a girl. And I was so bothered in this, especially because Veronica and Wallace were joking about it as well, which doesn't make it seem like the show is setting it up to be like, hey, guys, let's take this seriously. Like, you know, this is not an okay thing. Yeah, really, really bothered me the way that they presented this. And same with Gabrielle. Like, I have major issues with how they show the quote-unquote feminists on this show. I think, like, the way they show them kind of these militant feminists, it's like just horrifying, and there are no shades of gray there. It's, you know, just like so black and white. And this whole storyline basically is a prime example of like why I'm not liking season three right now. There was not a single redeeming thing about this. And yeah, like they talk about how they did this, and then, you know, Claire's was a fake rape, and like maybe there were other fake rapes because they were trying to get back for Patrice and, like, you know, show what was happening on campus and stuff like this. Just, oh no, not like, it's not okay. Really, really, really bothered me. So yeah, I could have really done without this storyline.
Marma, yes, you spoke for everything that I had in my mind, but there were still a couple more things that I wanted to elaborate on. And it was the big question of, were all those rapes faked? Are we meant to believe that those three girls did that and they're going to be fine and get away with faking all those rapes, and the rape storylines are forever done? We're moving on to the next segment of the season, or what the hell is going on? It was just so left field from somewhere that it was expected to come from there, but it was a horribly explained reveal. Nothing worked out of it.
Yeah, and I mean, I just don't like this show's, yeah, I really just don't like the way this show went about it, like you said, and they didn't explain anything, and it just made it seem like they were saying that, you know, a girl that is worried about a campus culture of like drinking and kind of sexual harassment and la 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 thinks that it's okay to lie and accuse people and fake a rape, which is like, I just feel like they should know better by now, because the whole season one storyline with Veronica, I felt like they did really, really well showing her the fallout from what had happened to her, and that they even like translated that across when she was talking to Parker, when all of that stuff happens. And then like they kind of twist it and go this direction, and I just can't get on board with it at all. And it just felt so cheap and unwarranted and unthought out and like poorly done and yeah, like unexplained.
And they make it seem like this kind of thing isn't terribly extraordinary. Like, they kind of brush it off in a way that it's like, oh, well, you know, some of the people that you may hear about getting raped, well, they probably, a lot of them probably faked it. Like, that's the way that this is coming off. Like, not that this is some sort of weird, twisted thing that is just particular to this campus. It was just kind of like a blanket thing, which I didn't
like. Exactly. Exactly. If they had presented it like this and then offered some commentary about it, it would have been different. But, like, the way that they did it just, yeah, exactly, makes it seem like, oh, this is a thing that happens all the time, and that's totally fine. And it's funny to make jokes about, like, a guy being sexually assaulted. That's totally okay. And, you know, it's just like, oh, makes me feel so creepy just even thinking about it.
Well, then where does the reveal in this episode relate to the rape that happened in season two, where the girl also had her head shaved when Veronica was visiting Hearst College? Because my question for you guys is, did that rape happen before or after Patrice decided to walk off the building?
Before. Because
okay, Patrice, so it happened before, then that was a legitimate rape. So that means that...
I thought Patrice was a few years ago.
Oh, sorry. Patrice was a few years ago because Hallie is not a freshman, and Hallie said it happened before she was there, and we assume she's at least a junior.
So that means...
Yeah, but the way that they were talking about it made me... Well, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but it made me feel like the rapes of the, like, quote-unquote feminists in this, they were the fake ones. But there were also actual rapes that were happening. Correct. Like Parker yeah. and that Arrested Development girl and,
yes. yes.
you know, like maybe some other, yeah, maybe some other people who I can't remember how many they set up. But, yeah, that's what I thought. But like you said, it wasn't super well explained.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is a shame.
And I don't think anyone on here watches Avatar The Last Airbender, because if you do, there's a trope on that mm-hmm. show that fits gorgeously for this moment. I've used it on Glee Chat before, and it works so well for any time a show doesn't explain something. I think the line goes something to the effect of, you know, it wasn't really clear, in reference to, like, some lampshading in the show. And I think that Veronica Mars needed to have, like, Wallace jump in and be like, so did the rapes all really happen, or were some of them? And then I wanted Veronica to just go, you know, it wasn't really clear, and then just move on, because that's all I have right now. I have, maybe kind of it's mushy, let's move on, though. And I'm like, huh? It's just, what?
yeah. I you're totally right. And the thing is, like, they can kind of do that, oh, it's not clear thing if it's, like, for the bus crash and for other things like that, because it's already so over the top. But if you're talking about sexual assault and you're talking about rape, it's such a sensitive subject, and you know that going into it. Like, no one goes into making a storyline like this thinking, oh, this is a light kind of topic, you know, this will be fine. So they should have thought it out better, or they shouldn't have done it. And, like, that's how I felt about this whole storyline in season 3. And, yeah, I'm really disappointed in Veronica Mars, you guys, because they've done so well in the past, and this was so messed up.
Yeah, they dropped the ball on this one.
They did.
Well, I guess in the end of the day that we can look forward to moving on past this ugly first part of season 3 and onto a brand new mystery for next week, you know?
Yeah, because this one, sure. I guess, won't repeat, but yeah. Yeah. Let's move on to It Just Disappeared. Where did it go? There was a second case of the week, and that had to do with Keith and Veronica and what's her name? Oh my gosh, what is her name? And they were basically Mrs. Rose.
Thelma Rose.
And what was going on, yes, and what was going on was they were voting to kick all of the Greeks off campus, and this lady disappeared. Did you feel any better about that mystery? I mean, of course,
yeah,
it'll
I liked
be better.
This one.
It'll be better than the
well,
the sorority,
it can't be worse.
The anti-Greek girls. Yeah, it can't be worse. So, but you did like it?
Yeah, and I kept getting distracted after I realized that the husband was Mr. Sheffield from The Nanny.
Yes.
I knew that from his voice. I knew that as soon as he
was
like, stop harassing our guests and have him come in here. And I was like,
yes!
Ah!
I know. I thought the same thing, and I was like, how do I know this guy? He has not aged well, I have to say. That guy. I feel like he has not aged well.
Well, I wonder how old he was on The Nanny, because I know gray hair is not really an indicator of age. But if it is to be an indicator of, I don't know, his mid-40s, maybe by now he's, like, in his 50s?
Oh, God, he must be older than that. The Nanny was so long ago, because that was when I was a child, and now I'm old.
Oh, did you I get this is like a stupid American question, but did you watch American television sitcoms like The Nanny all the time? I thought that was, like, a weird thing for even, like, us Americans to do in our generation, because that's, like, an older show, you know?
Well, I mean, I didn't watch much television either, but there were always reruns of, like, The Nanny on TV. So I have seen my fair share of The Nanny. I mean, I don't know. What are you asking me, Mitch? Like, yeah, we got TV like 5 years ago.
No. I'm asking, like,
I don't know.
why concentrate on American sitcoms?
Color TV?
Are you
sure it's in black and white?
Oh, no, it's still in black and white. That's weird.
No, I'm asking, why not watch Australian TV if you have it? Why bother with American TV? Because it seems like America's in the same facet. They're like, oh, Australian TV, we'll just kind of pretend it doesn't exist most of the time.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, like, this is a complete tangent conversation, but because the industry is much smaller and there are, like, hardly any shows, and at that time there were even less. So unless you want to watch, like, Neighbours or Home and Away, which are our soapies, not a huge amount on offer. Anyway, I liked this case a lot, and I really liked Selma Rose. She was badass. I don't know why, I just enjoyed her.
She was good.
But I didn't understand exactly what was going on. I need more explanation. I was just a little bit baffled as to the rightness, I guess, or the goodness of either the nanny or Selma, because Mr. Sheffield was a jerk who was looking to have her looking to divorce her or something. What were the details again?
He wanted, like, if you've been married for more than 10 years in California law, then you get, like, if, you know, assuming they hadn't signed a prenup, you get half. So he wanted to keep her away, and she wanted to divorce him before 10 years because they just weren't happy and he was cheating on her. But he blackmailed her and said, like, oh, look, I have pictures of you making out with a young woman who's actually not even in love with you. She's in love with me. You have to stay married to me for longer than 10 years, like by a few days, so I get half of your money. So that's what he was doing.
Okay, well, that's all fair, but why was Selma's brother and Selma's brother's
they were just there because
important. Like, that was just kind of like a weird like tangent of the show that it didn't need to exist, you know?
I mean, I thought it was good because it just threw Keith and Veronica off the other guy's scent. So right. I thought it was neat to have that tension. And it was also neat to see Hallie back because I really liked the sorority storyline just because I think it showed how Veronica can be wrong and how people are more layered. So to see Hallie have compassion for her sorority mom but at the same time be manipulative and in love with a guy who's like, you know, her father's age was just interesting as well.
So yeah, we saw Hallie. When did we see her? I don't remember.
When Veronica was like rushing that sorority. Yeah. I know the lingo. I've watched Greek. I know what's up.
Yeah.
Was she in person?
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember.
She didn't have sororities.
She was like the overwhelmingly peppy girl
that who wanted Veronica's clothes or something. Like she's just shopping for friends or something, right?
Yes. I think so.
I think slightly remember her, but I'm just shocked at how much more you guys remember her than I do. I mean, I'm with Marma.
She's
on
the one that the girl from Twilight saved Veronica from.
Yes.
Yes.
But like going back to that brother real quick, I think also that like Keith said that the reason that they got Selma to not just not sign the papers, but to like pretend that she was kidnapped or whatever, was so that the brother could change the business so that it was like based overseas, which would increase the profits, and then it would mean that Mr. Sheffield would get even more money. So, like, that's why the brother was kind of important to the storyline.
Yeah,
that's true.
You're right.
But I don't think he was in on it. He was just like, he wanted to do that, and Mr. Sheffield was like, I'm just going to call him that, was like, yeah, like, this will benefit me because then I'll have even more money because my half will be even bigger.
Yes.
Anyway, okay. I like Tally. I like the sorority kind of thing.
Yeah. And then the last thing we have to talk about in this episode is Veronica and Logan again. They're fighting again. What are you tired of them fighting? Do you think someone's more right than someone else in terms of Logan telling Veronica to be more careful and trying to look out for her?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he should have hired a bodyguard for her without her knowing, because that's just rude and it's a relationship and they need to talk and not just have things happen. But I do think he had a point when he said, like, you know, she won't change for him even like a little bit on this. And yet she is always pressuring him to change and, you know, always saying like how disappointed she is in him and trying to make him into something he's not. So I think they're both right on this in different ways.
Yeah, I mean, I could see why he'd want to do what he did, and he has the resources to do it, so I really don't feel that any of us are millionaires and can get into the mindset of what a millionaire would do to protect their loved ones, but maybe we would feel the same way as Logan with that money.
Yeah, I agree with Gabrielle. I think they both had a point, but I think Logan going behind her back like that was a betrayal of trust, even though he meant it, you know, like to protect her, you know. So I think she had a right to be upset, but he also had a point talking about like she always wants him to change.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, she does. And I think that she should accept him as he is and be done with that and know that
she could stick with him if she likes him as he is, but, like, that's a classic thing in a relationship. You can't try and change your significant other. It's not going to work.
No. Yeah. And if you think it's going to work, you're wrong.
Yes.
And all of this, like, stuff that's happening with Veronica and Logan in this season so far just makes me feel like there's way too much history there. You know, like, you kind of... It's not surprising that she can't trust him after kind of everything that's happened. And then at the same time, you feel like, well, look at everything you've been through. Like, you should trust each other by now. So I can understand where the conflict is coming from. But yeah, just because of like everything that has happened to them in the last couple years, it's not surprising that it's not working.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Yeah, not at all. Let's see. Gabrielle, did you want to quickly discuss Veronica possibly having post-traumatic stress disorder?
Well, I just,
that's a good point.
I just put that down because, again, in this episode, she basically glosses over the fact that she was almost attacked, you know, in the previous episode, which we assume is like the night before or, you know, that week. So the fact that she just seems to roll past all the stuff that happens to her. And she doesn't talk about it with her dad. She doesn't talk about it with Logan or even Wallace. Makes me wonder, you know, and the fact she was so jumpy this episode. And yes, she was being followed by a bodyguard. But at the same time, it just seems like she has a lot of issues because of the traumatic events that she's been through. And, you know, same with Logan, that maybe it'd be helpful for both of them to talk to someone like a therapist or to have a relationship with someone that they can confide in. Because I don't know. I see her not working through her issues at all. And similar with him.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about that, but that is actually, I feel like that is really accurate. That's a really interesting reading of the whole situation. It makes me feel better if it's that versus like, oh, they just don't want to deal with the fallout.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Everyone on this show would need a therapist though.
Yes.
So. Oh God, yeah. And those therapists would be making even more money than they probably already are.
Yeah.
Well, like, the thing is, Mac should go, like, a lot of them need to go to therapists. They're like, Mac, I mean, besides the fact that she's been MIA this season, like, what happened to her was horrible and traumatic and, like, you know, probably messed her up in a lot of ways. Like, I'm a big advocate for talking. And so the fact that Veronica doesn't even want to talk about it with the people who obviously care about her, you know, just is worrisome.
Yeah, I mean, Mac does. Like, I would say Dick probably does. Logan definitely does. So, Veronica does.
I'm surprised there's not counseling for anyone in that school equivalent to the bus crash. I mean, did that ruin everything when all those snotty kids were taking advantage of it and, you know, saying, I can't take this test because I have PTSD when they really didn't? I mean, because you would think that regardless of why the person was dead, I mean, I know he killed himself, but when a kid in high school dies, typically the friends are very much encouraged to go to like a school therapist, but that was never even referenced. I mean, we just went right to college and it was no big deal. I mean, I know we're at the end of high school and all, and they're doing prom that night and all that, but to me, it seems like there would have been like a little bit more caution taken by Neptune High to make sure that everything happened a little bit better.
Actually, now you mention that, it's really strange to me that they haven't done that at Hearst, especially because of all the rapes that are happening. It would be a perfect time for them to be like, and also we have this therapist, you can go and speak to them. And because like the dean has been shown to be taking this seriously, I think, like with what happened with Claire and all of that. So yeah, that does kind of seem like a glaring omission now that I think about it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the many, but yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
You know, it just feels so relieving, Marama, to hear from the. I was going to call you guys newbies. You guys professionals? What do we call you guys? The super fans, right? It feels really, really nice to hear from the super fans that they're just as frustrated with the same things that we are. So it's like, to me, it's this weird satisfaction that we're right on being upset and it's okay because that's all that ever happens. We won't see Mac. We won't see the therapist. It's like, that it feels like we're paying attention to the right details, Marma.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, it's even details.
They could be trolling us.
They could be trolling us.
I mean, I feel... I've never been able to discuss any episodes of Veronica Mars before. So I feel like the things that you bring up are things that bothered me, but I never knew that they bothered me.
Yeah.
So I'm really enjoying it too. It's nice to have the sort of back and forth that we do. I like it. So that was the end of episode eight. Let's do our favorite scenes and favorite lines and wrap things up. So Merima, you want to do your favorite scene, please?
Yes. My favorite scene was my other new favorite character, the Dean, just totally sassing Sheriff Lam because Sheriff Lam was like not doing its job. And the Dean was like, look, I'm like seriously important and I don't know what's happening here, but I'm not dealing with you anymore. And I was like, yeah, Team Dean. I don't know what his actual name is, but I just am calling him the Dean.
I forgot what his name is, but yeah.
Like yeah. Mr. Sheffield.
Yeah, because he's great. I love the Dean. He's great. So that was my favorite.
So my favorite scene and my favorite line are kind of connected, and it's going to sound a little contrary to what we were talking about before. So even though I did not like any of the feminist stuff or any of the ways that they characterize sexual assault in this episode, for some reason my guard was let down. Well, it's because it was Dick. My guard was let down on some of the things. And so my favorite scene was Dick telling Veronica about Chip and the Easter egg. Because while it was gross in the way that he was describing things, it was interesting to me to see him describe something in so many ways. Because he's simplistic, but then in the way that he's describing things in so many ways, it was humorous. But I feel bad for laughing. So my favorite scene makes me feel ashamed. So there's that.
Oh,
there's sorry. That. My favorite line will too. No, it's fine.
I mean, as it should, but...
I know. Well, I didn't process all of these things until we started talking, and so then I started looking at my stuff and I was like, oh shoot, now I hate myself. So.
Well, I mean, Marma can be really influential on opinions. Yes. I've noted on podcasts. So.
I love it. Great.
I don't know
it's
what
a good
you're
thing.
Talking about.
Yes, it's a good
you
thing.
You can always count so, on me you. To make you feel bad about things that you were thinking.
I like these cute blondes in the show. There's too many. I agree.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I just have strong opinions. I can't help it.
You do. I like them because I don't have very many sometimes. So, Gabrielle, what was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene was also a Dick and Veronica scene, and it's when they're at the trash can, and when Veronica is making like all those weird hand movements and just like teasing Dick. I love their relationship, and you can tell that in real life they are friends because. You can just see their friendship shine through in their acting just because they do have that offbeat humor. And so I love the scene. And I felt bad for the homeless guy until the end when I think he got a reward at the end. But
yes,
yeah, I love
did.
The scene.
He did.
He got $20. And Veronica's like, the magical inedible egg. I was like,
He also, they set him up to get the reward for Selma Rose's disappearance as well. So he got money for that.
How?
I think he was the one who they were saying that called in and said where she was. Because he was the one who was sitting in the chair in the police department at the end.
Oh, okay. I'll dig that.
Yeah. So good for him. Mitch, what was your favorite scene?
Mine was Veronica in that bandana because she looked like a homeless person in that. So she was really getting into character. And it was fun.
There we go.
I like sometimes when people wear clothes that remind me of homeless people because it's like a weird hipster thing and it's kind of cute in a weird way. And it just was so out of her style and it was fun. I don't know why I liked her wearing a bandana so much, but I really liked her wearing the bandana in all those scenes.
Early 2000s, bandanas were all the rage.
Yes, they were.
I had a few. Favorite lines, Merima?
My favorite line was, basically from my favorite scene, and it was when the Dean is talking to Keith, trying to get him to look into the disappearance, and the Dean's like, look, the sheriff is an idiot. I've met smarter sandwiches. And that made me laugh very hard. So, yeah, I love the Dean.
That's good. Again, my shame may or may not come through with this, but my favorite line was a short conversation between Dick and Veronica, and it goes something like this. You're missing the point. They put it up as bleeding bum, Veronica says, which speaks to the number being significant, don't you think? And Dick counters with, I guess. I don't know what the number is. It wasn't a baby shower. We didn't all sit around waiting for him to open the egg so we could see what he got. So that was my favorite line.
I mean, as horrible as that is, it's yeah. Dick is cute, but he's just not being a good person in what he's doing and saying that.
Yeah. The shame. Please, please.
He's a Gabrielle, cute, mean person.
Yes. Gabrielle.
So mine is Logan, and it's when, he has this conversation with Veronica. So he goes, and you know who I am, and you're constantly expecting me to change. And even right now, as you're thinking, crap, he's got a point, you still think you're ultimately right. I love you, Veronica. I love you. Do you love me? It kind of broke my heart and, smashed it into a million pieces, and I love that. I loved that monologue by Logan.
I like sad Logan. Sad Logan is good Logan.
Yeah, he's good. He's good as sad Logan.
And Mitch, favorite line.
Mine was when Veronica was going to that gala or that vote or whatever, and she says, I'm off to steal the souls of the rich with my evil image capturing device. Keith, have fun.
witty banter. It's good stuff. All right, so if you want to get in contact with us, please do. You can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can send us both spoilery and non-spoilery things there, whatever you'd like. You can tweet us at re_watchable, and you can also comment on this post on hypeable.com. Start a conversation with us. Say something scandalous. I don't know. Talk to us. And if you are so willing, if you love us enough, you can leave us a review on iTunes, and that will help other people find us, and it'll just make us love you more. I mean, we already love you, but maybe we can love you more. We'll see. We just have a short piece of listener feedback for you today. Does anybody want to take this?
Hear Mara Mother read it. She has a good reading voice.
She does. Will you please?
What? Sure. This is from, you just guys didn't know how to pronounce this name. I get it.
no.
Just, this is from Celtis. I am really sorry. Please get mad at me and tell me how to say that. Who wrote on Hyperball, whenever the Wallace mechanical engineering scenes came up, I just got flashbacks to the pilot when he's flying the plane on the beach. Wasn't that the scene too where he called Veronica a marshmallow? And thanks to Danielle and Gabrielle for the spoilerific segment. I don't know anyone in real life to get excited with and to talk to about it. So really appreciated. So thanks for that.
Thank you.
Totally forgotten about that scene with the plane. So
yeah,
a lot of people were getting mad at me for saying that Wallace never talked about mechanical engineering. Like, what's going on? And, I know there was the plane, and then there was also the thing with the egg, but, two scenes do not make a career path. So I am still sticking to my original thing, which was, this was a bit out of the blue, but, I can see maybe hints. That's fine. So, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. All right, so... I don't know about you, but I'm off to watch.
Feeling 22.
No, thank God.
You set that up. You set that up.
Yeah, no, totally.
Thank
did.
God I'm 23. Nobody likes me when I'm 23, but thank God I'm 23.
I can still sing that song. Woohoo!
Oh gosh.
We have every single age. All right. 21, 22, 23, 24. Anyone? No.
I think I'm 24.
Yeah. 23. Who's 24?
No, 2 23s, 2 22 and 21. Right.
Yeah, I'm 21.
Got it.
All right. Well, now that we know everyone's age, we're good to go. Yeah. We have fulfilled our purpose for this episode of Rewatchable. So until we see you next time, guys, I'm Danielle.
I'm Marima.
I'm Gabrielle.
I'm Mitch.
And have a great week. See you next time.
Bye-bye. Bye.